Well,
first, before you move on, Paulina, to the stack, if
sure,
I may.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Can you, just to understand, what normally board expenses, what do those entail?
That's a good question in terms of the P&O. I mean, in terms of everybody else, it's easy to understand, but I don't really know what that category entails. I'm imagining that that Anita will have to do kind of a forensic analysis of that category to answer that question, but I might be mistaken.
This is Lydia.
We can to give you a detail on it.
Yeah, if you could just send a detail of that account, that would just throw a huge amount of light on it. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. So historically, the board expenses were our in-person meetings. Obviously, we're not doing that anymore. There are also the various phone systems that we're using for all of the PMB meetings, committee meetings, including this one. This is all a board expense with our phone system, et cetera. But in terms of what I have found more and more is that it's a matter of putting things in the right little pocket, right, historically,
yeah.
Because policies have changed without policies having been changed. And there's just a difference in how the elections are allocated. So all of these things, by the way, are why I wanted to start coming to some of the Finance Committee meetings so that we can have a policy that can guide an ETA and a policy that the board members know and policies that the staff knows. So they know in advance where things are going to go. So there was a time when, and we have to deal with this, for example, with the last referendum. How does that, the cost of that, especially the legal cost, I mean, figure it's about $102,000. So how does that get allocated throughout the network, if at all? And so, anyway, so all of those issues as to where things belong, I have, I spent part of today figuring out, for example, something we received a bill from, I won't name the company, but it's a good company having to do with mobile texting and so forth. They said that we received $73,000. Well, of course, at the national office, we did not receive $73,000. So, but somebody in the network, apparently did. I found $800 of it at one station. So, but anyway, so it's tracking all of these things down. It's difficult to get two vendors under the current circumstances. People aren't answering their phones at their office, and, you know, you end up playing phone tag and email tag and whatever. But that's just one instance. There are several. And I am trying to get to the bottom of what all of these various, first of all, sources are. But also, if it's just the stations that are using a particular source of vendor, for example, then they can afford to pay it directly rather than go through the national office. And anyway, so, but all of those issues, we have to develop a policy. We can't just make it up as we go, which it seems to me, based on what I have been dealing with in the past couple of months, that that's what's been happening. It's very patchwork. So, there you go.
All right. Thank you, Lydia. All right. So we're almost out of time again. I think I'll just briefly say that I see some drops in expenses for PRA. I'm assuming that that there's been some maybe staffing-related issues there. Also, development expenses are way off. So, and since there's nobody on the call that can speak to PRA, I know that they've had trouble, but we can probably just schedule a meeting specifically to talk about PRA at some point in the future, because we would need somebody from that branch of the organization to speak to that stuff, unless there's somebody on the call who is super duper familiar and could like articulate what's going on in terms of the cost structure there.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, go ahead.
Okay, so they always make their payroll, including this time. They usually do better during their one day of fund drive than they did in the middle of the corona situation. and they're trying new things, veering away from CDs and going perhaps to a subscription for what they have. They have ample opportunities for grants that can't be applied for because we're not current with our audits. And so they apply for the grants that they can, and they're doing wonderful work now with the schools, and that will bring in some revenue for sure. But I think we have to, and this isn't just true of PRA, it's the entire foundation, is crippled by the inability to submit grants, at least for the larger grants that require that our audits be up to date. But they have, we did put through for the Golden Globes for a $75,000 grant that looks very promising for PRA, but that's a drop in the bucket compared to the things that people have approached them and offered and can help facilitating those much larger grants. So that's true of the entire network.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Am I reading this correctly? And correct me if I'm not reading it correctly. The revenue for PRA fiscal year 18 was $280,000 and being supplemented by about $208,000 from the foundation?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, could you explain these lines to me where we see a $208,000 negative as opposed
no.
to they're generating, let me finish. What they're generating minus what their cost is?
All right. In 2018, did you say? No, what line? Or a particular line? No, I can't. I can certainly ask them about that.
I think I know what
Dwayne's question is, and I can answer it.
Okay.
So if you're talking about the last, just looking at the PRA tab, if you're talking about the central services tab, basically the negative amounts down there.
Right.
Okay. So for Great most question. Of the divisions, central services are an outgoing expense. The way that PRA and P&O account for them is as a source of income or as a revenue in. So in order to keep the categories and line items the same, it's shown as a negative expense. Now,
okay.
This is actually kind of a weird deviation, too, that probably deserves a lot more time than we have for it right now. But those negative expenses show as paid to those individual units, whether they actually receive them or not. In other words, this is an exception to the accrual rule that the accounting generally follows. These are basically accrued dividends, I guess you would say, disbursements to these individual units. They may or may not receive them, depending on who pays them, but they're accounted for as if they did receive them. So the bottom line income that's shown for PRA here, which is item Y91, may or not in fact be true in terms of cash. I mean, if they didn't receive $48,000 if they received $48,000 less than is shown there of that $86,900, then they would have received nothing. Or they would have a big goose egg there instead of $47,884. So it assumes that all the money actually did flow into the PRA, when in fact it might not have.
And
so
have,
I'm a bottom line kind of guy. So we understand. Is it safe? Not assumption, but is it an accurate number that they had a net income of $23,800, as it is shown on this document?
Where is the 23.8 shown? I'm sorry. I'm not seeing that number.
Well, I'm looking, so we'll be on the same page here. I'm looking at the monthly
it's
income
line,
statement.
It's line 34, Chris.
Line 34?
I don't have lines. I don't have lines on the document you sent me. I've only got a copy of the Pacifica Financial Statement 229.20. And I'm going by the line item, don't have a number, but it does have a GL code of 5100 and 5112, and under all of that is a net income of $23,800.
Line 34.
Line 34. Okay. Thank you.
See.
Or possibly
okay.
Line 91.
Yeah, I just want to know if that's a real number.
Is oh, right. I'm in the wrong. Yeah, don't listen to me.
Is that a real number or an assumed number?
I'm sorry, Duane. I'm still not seeing the number that you're referring to.
So, well,
I see it now.
Chris,
I see it now.
Chris,
I got it.
Yeah,
I got 90. It. I got it. It's under item C, right?
Yeah.
Column C. Column C. I mean, that would be a true accrual income number for the PRA for 2018.
Okay. They're operating in the black. I'm a bottom line kind of guy. That's
yeah.
all I need
yeah.
to know.
Yeah. Okay. So we've, again, run out of time for this item, but I think we're at a good stopping point, too. So I sent out a second set of documents about, I guess it's close to 3 hours ago now, that was the shortfalls discussion. This might not actually take 20 minutes because we kind of have skirted some of these issues in the discussion that we just got through having. I'm going to pull that document now so I can look at it at the same time. The document title is, there's two of them. One is a shortfall summary .doc, and the other one is a copy of fiscal year 19, fiscal year 20 Pacifica Station payments spreadsheet. So let's see. I'm trying to figure out whether, let me just read the doc. It's quick. So the doc says, attaches a shortfall summary for the 5 month period ending February. This provides some insight into our national cash flow situation. Since the P&O is relied upon as a backstop or shortfall, for shortfall, any shortfall in central services deprives the slush fund used for exigent circumstances. If you compare the attached summary to the P&L sent earlier today, which we just got through reviewing, what you'll see is that the net gain in P&O is, it shouldn't say almost less, it should say less. Sorry about that. I had a different wording earlier, less than the shortfall in payments. Since the reporting for central services is done on an accrual basis network-wide, the income in this section of the report for the P&O has to be done the same for the P&O for the books to balance, which is what we just got through talking about, Duane. Thank you for that nice segue. What this means is that there's over-reporting of income on that section of the report, which is balanced by over-reporting of payments in the five stations, which results in zero, a net zero on the balances in the consolidated tab. I'm sure you're all thoroughly confused by that comment. I'd be happy to explain it in a second. But what this also means is that the P&O has less reserves than it did 5 months ago. So the gain that's reported on the 229 financials is $191,197. That's in the lower right-hand corner of the spreadsheet. The shortfall in the report that is attached with this document, the one I just specified a minute ago, is $219,315. So the difference between those two is $28,118, which is how much less money the P&O has now than it had at the beginning of this period. And so when circumstances, emergencies crop up, there's the money that is kind of presumed to be there at the national office is in some cases not there, and they have to scramble around and figure out where to pull this money from in order to make payments. So when these emergencies crop up, there's basically nothing there to fall back on. It's just another reason why this whole central services discussion is so important, is that if we can't figure out a way to fully fund the central service account, then when we have a problem, a hiccup, something goes wrong in one of the stations, there's nothing. The P&O can't just write a check to cover it, and then wait for the station to pay it back, because there's just simply no money there. So that was kind of the libretto, the backstory associated with the spreadsheet. And I don't know, the spreadsheet is fairly simple, so there's not actually that much to discuss. But if anybody would like to make any comments, I think Lydia wanted to say something about it. But if anybody else wants to get on the stack, I'd entertain a stack for this.
Yes, this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
So it goes back to the same lack of order as to where things are, and also a history of central services. So back in the day, and this, and when I say back in the day, and this is Teresa Allen and my day, when we received the major multi-million-dollar grants from CPB, and that we had higher central services. That's when we came up with the system, or the system existed for billbacks. In other words, we could be the credit card. The national office could be the credit card. And so, you know, the bills would go there, we would pay them, and then we would bill the stations back. Well, in this current reality, which isn't just this year, it's in recent years, the entire thing, again, has been put together in a very sloppy manner, and it's a nonsensical manner, and so we need to bring some order to it. So right now, because national office doesn't have consistent central services from all the stations, it is lower central services, and yet we have expenditures that only the national office can first pay, such as legal bills, which are horrendous, that it makes no sense to first pay everybody's bills and then try to get a bill back, because these are stations that aren't even current on central services, and or, you know, this, that, and the other, and other things I won't mention, but and now starting to fall short on payroll. So I think there's a holistic analysis that must be done of those things. The example that I used before about the mobile phone app, which is wonderful, actually. So it's no reflection on that. But the point is, we've been paying for it. National office has been paying for it and not realizing any income from it, nor is it included in anything that we're collecting from central services, or we don't even know, like I said, where the income, where that $73,000 went. But that's not an isolated instance. And so we have that, and more importantly, like the elections, we're going to have another election next year. It's not just your station's costs for your local election, but how much of the general costs for the election company and the national election supervisor is distributed equitably. And, you know, so all of those things need to be analyzed so as to give NETA some direction as to you know, what it is that they're dealing with. The board needs to understand, and then it needs to be pulled together like we once had. And again, Teresa will remember in 2006 when Mr. Guma was our executive director, and we had an actual document by category that said finance. Actually, it was started even before that by Lonnie Hicks, but had finance and all the policies, and it let you know when that was passed and where the minutes are and so forth. And that type of thing is imperative for whoever comes in as a permanent executive director, and for everyone involved. It's really very, very chaotic for me to have to research every single thing that comes across for me to pay, or it's just been an amazing experience, and it has to start here at the Finance Committee. We have to come up with policies for the PMB to pass to know what we have to do here with central services and so forth. And also so the stations don't resent us so much, because the other issue is they don't know what central services goes to. So we have to simplify that. So it's also a communication issue, central services and our listeners. The most effective fundraising that I have seen at events is when the organization says, and we need this much for the archivist, we need this much for, you know, for our exhibitions that we do around the world. That's very compelling when you give people the detailed breakdown like that. Let them know where their money's going. That's it.
Exactly.
Thank Lydia, just a quick question for you. I mean, this is a very granular detail that you're suggesting needs to be done, and I'm not saying that I disagree with you. What would be helpful, I think, to the NFC would be to get a listing of, a detailed listing of some of these expenses that that are somewhat nebulous in terms of how the how they're being spread across the network, just so we here can kind of start to grapple with this and get our head around it. Would you be willing to put that? I guess you and Anita would be the parties that would help put that together. Could you guys do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been working most closely with Tamara. A lot of the things she's been able to just recollect, right? This particular ED approved this payment before, so it wasn't really questioned, right? That kind of thing. So as I'm given a list of payables, right, then I'm formulating my own document where I'm articulating them, and some are applicable to what I just said and not. But just in general, we have two big categories. One, the ongoing elections, or in this case, the referendum, that sort of thing, and then the other would be legal.
Okay,
so if we can deal with those two categories, the other stuff we can deal with later when I get sufficient, when it's not just three or four vendors, but others, that we can determine how to do that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Lydia, and I'll be happy to help also. I do have another person that I've added to the account, Ann Goff, in case you hear her name. She's starting to do some things for Tamara also.
Oh, terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any more discussion or questions on this item? We have a bit more time.
Yes, Paulina, to the staff.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Lydia, I really appreciate the picture you painted for us in terms of what you're having to deal with. My question is the following. The legal costs, I don't know if this is the appropriate forum to talk about it without naming names, but how can these costs be... should they even be shared by all stations equally, or should those who initiated the lawsuits and were responsible for these things, should they be held accountable? I don't know if anybody can find you, Lydia, or anybody else.
Well, I think at a future meeting we should have an executive session where we can discuss. Again, it should be a matter of policy. Always what it was, and this predates everyone again, except probably our Paul. I keep excluding our Paul, who's been around for a really long time around this as well, but and Teresa and myself, that we did have a means testing for where legal expenses went and how that was to be determined. I can tell you the polarity of the partisanship distorted that after that fact. So there was a time when it was pretty clear cut. And because many of these suits are from either staff or board members, some of them are employment suits, and that's easier. That's specific to a particular station and used to be limited to actions by, you know, the manager and the employee, that is not true of some of the more recent cases. So again, it calls for a kind of a reexamination of how to deal with it. But all of that would definitely have to be an executive session. But yes, I'm looking for guidance for that, relative to not just the most recent example, but there are several. And we have, and we spend a lot of time paying off a lot of lawsuits. So, we have to grapple with that.
Lydia, did you say that there was a previous policy that governed this? And if so, could I see a copy of it?
I can certainly look it up, but I think I'm going to dig out that old, what I used to call the GUMA document, that gives you an example of that, and a lot of those are in there. The problem is, you know, things get passed in the meeting. Even most recently, I heard there was something passed that I was supposed to do that I've been attending all the meetings, I thought. But anyway, there was something that I had missed, too, which is just announcing the results of the referendum and so forth on air. I didn't know that. So you miss a lot, even if you're attending the meetings, even if you're listening to the meetings. But more than that, other than procedural motions, anything that's policy related should be codified in something that, like the bylaws are set up, right, that there should be something that all of us can refer to as a consistent policy. That, and there will always be exceptions, and at that point you can expand on it or modify it or amend it for a particular situation, but you have to have some governing policy relative to the initial way that you look at things and how NETA figures any of this stuff out when we throw it to them. I don't know. But Anita can probably comment on that.
It definitely has been difficult at times.
Anyway, so there you go. We are nothing if not unique.
Yeah,
true.
Yep, that can definitely be said.
Chris, may I have a quick follow-up?
Is this Paulina?
Yeah, if I could. Yeah, this is slightly off topic, but it's still, it has to do with the way business is handled. I am looking at my email, and it looks like there was a motion that was referred from the PNB to us, to the Finance Committee on March 2nd regarding the subcarrier rent. Does anybody have that motion? Because I was not on the PNB at the time.
I do remember it. That's all I can say is I remember the motion, but
I don't remember it, unfortunately.
I didn't know that it was. I didn't remember if it was actually referred or if it was tabled or postponed. But
what day was that, Paulina? It's Nancy.
March 22nd, Nancy.
March
26th. March 26th. We don't have minutes for that PNB meeting, so that's why I would request that whoever was on the PNB at the time, I was not yet. There was a motion on regarding subcarrier rent that we had discussed previously in this meeting. Today, it would be really useful, I think, to take that up today in the time that we have. And also kind of mandatory because it was referred to us.
Oh, gosh. I guess I got so caught up in what was going on over the last couple of weeks that I completely forgot about this, but I'm remembering it now. They asked that it be referred to this committee, and I just completely forgot about it. So I apologize to everybody listening right now, including the folks on this call. Yeah, I do remember this now, actually.
This is Lydia.
It came up fairly quickly, and somebody suggested that it be tabled, and then somebody else suggested that it be referred to committee, and I remember that now, yes. So I apologize. And,
this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, and I think that when you put it on the agenda, it should be after I have looked into what the SCAs are currently, who they are, and what those contracts are. Several questions have come up about it. So I'll put all of that together so that prior to the meeting, everyone can look over everything before we develop the policy.
Okay. Would it be possible, do you think, if there's anybody on this committee that would object to this, including yourself, Lydia, would it be possible to circle around and discuss this in 2 weeks, or is that too soon?
That's fine.
I think it would be fine, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure it gets on the next agenda.
Okay.
All right. And, once again, I apologize for just completely forgetting about this. It's been an absolutely crazy few weeks here, and it just slipped my mind. So
this is Lydia again.
Go ahead, Lydia.
As long as we're discussing the PMB, So I had recommended to the PMB that we have a meeting strictly on finances, one whole meeting, that we can have an overview of where the foundation is, and that has to obviously come out of this committee. That subsequent to that, we schedule a PMB meeting to drill down and focus on a particular unit. So each station and each unit would be part of the agenda, significant part of the agenda. The main portion of the agenda would be for a meeting by the PMB. I can't think of another way to get to the bottom of things. And the way things are, it's very difficult to budget for any of the units, including P&O, without that unit by unit focus, in my opinion. But we have to first start with the overview, in my opinion. And that meeting will take place, that's to say, a week from this Thursday, which is what, the 23rd. On Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday the 23rd.
Okay, there you go.
Yep. So yeah, this will the overview that is partially happening tonight will hopefully drill down in greater detail on the 23rd. That's the plan,
yeah.
Anyway.
And hopefully Anita can join us on that, because she may not know that this was proposed. He's still on.
Can you be there the 23rd, Anita? Thursday the 23rd?
I think so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we only have about 8 minutes left to time certain. Do we want to pick up the discussion on central services now, or that's not much time for that. We should either extend or postpone that item, I think. Does anybody have any feelings about that one way or another?
Alan for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I have three quick questions, and I don't know whether they would come under central services or maybe new business, but maybe someone could answer them quickly. I just wanted to know the status of the audit. I want to know if the strategic planning committee has any plans, specific plans for revenue, and I want to know how much we still owe NETA and whether we have a plan for that.
Okay, I can take the first question quickly. I mean, I think Anita probably could too, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, Anita. I believe at this point Rogers has all of the information that they need for the 2018 audit. Is that right, Anita?
Correct.
Okay. And this is a very recent thing, by the way. I think the last little chunk of it arrived today. So that's what I can give you on that. As to the other two questions, I will defer to our guests.
Go ahead.
Does the Strategic Planning Committee on the national level have any specific plans that maybe they could give us for actually increasing revenue?
The Strategic Planning Committee, probably the new one that was just elected, those elections just became known Sunday, something like that. So they have not met, as far as I know. So I think that's a good question for in 2 weeks. I can tell you, if you did not hear my previous report on the PMB, that we did apply for the CARES Act.
$1 million loan?
Yes. And we kept it within the realm of not having to pay anything back. So we can keep that amount, which is 75% to keep our staff, covers our staff. And if the stations don't have to pay their staff, then they can pay our central services. So there's that. And then in return, we can catch up with a significant amount that we owe NETA and other vendors, of course. And so that will be extremely helpful. At least 25% of that does not have to be personnel, so that's also very useful. We have the other loan that we applied for here in California, and, of course, they promised to give us $10,000 up front the moment we applied, but that hasn't happened, but we did apply. And that's a larger loan with 2.6, I think, percent that you get to repay over 30 years, and that's going to be a very important loan.
What would the total of that be?
That will be a couple million dollars, keeping our fingers crossed, over and above the more than a million from the CARES Act. And
maybe could you possibly, can somebody send me that report so I can see that?
Sure.
Rather than just have you explain it all, because, I mean, this is valuable information, but maybe.
Right, and then what I can tell you that there has been some benefit in this particular instance of being with Bank of America. They were able to not fast-track our application, but it was already semi-filled out. And so, you know, that happens to be the act that the Congress and then subsequently the President signed. And it was first come, first serve. Now, we're only guessing, but the number for our confirmation is 2,100, I think, 2,100. And they've dispersed 1,000 of it in the first week. And so we are thinking we're in the second batch, but of course that could be wishful thinking. But nevertheless, that's really critical in these next couple of weeks. We have kept our employees on, and we've had two furloughs. There's a little wiggle room with the application, and other than that, we've kept the employees paid through this very difficult period. This allows us to keep staff for about 2.5 months. Paid just with that, but it should give relief to all of the units. And so we are hopeful about that, and we're keeping our fingers crossed on both applications.
Bravo.
And I might say, Tamara did a magnificent job. We worked on it all week before they posted the application, working with our banker and getting all the documentation ready. The application itself was rather simple, a couple pages, but then, of course, by the following Monday, they wanted the underlying documentation, which we all had at the ready because we had identified it working on it the week before. So, NETA, thank you very much for that.
Lydia, I was going to comment. We are aware that a lot of stations have already received funds from the CARE Act, so hopefully that will come to fruition very quickly.
Okay.
Chris, I have information.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
With respect to the question of when the strategic plan, or the question of the Strategic Planning Commission, and I believe it is appropriate for the Strategic Planning Committee to answer that question, but the first meeting will be on Monday, the 20th of this month. So, and based on Alex sharing, I am sure, Teresa, that funding and finance and fundraising will be one of the items that are being spoken, but you may not expect the Strategic Planning Commission to actually, the Strategic Planning Committee to actually do the fundraising. But there will, this is a planning committee. Just keep that in mind.
I just know about 5 years ago there was a strategic planning committee, and they were coming up with creative ideas, but I don't know really what came of it because I went off the board.
We're going to come up with a great plan, but we still don't have a fundraising committee. And we
Isn't
still
that what development is?
We still don't have a functioning development committee as well. So a lot of folks got to get on board and get to work, but the plan is coming forward.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Okay, so are you saying, Lydia, that the loan money can possibly be used to pay the auditors, or
can
be used to pay
Nita? Mr. Chair, can we not? We're all on a string. So can we not get on the minutiae? I think she's disclosed enough to be transparent. But to be more specific, I think we're putting a number of our creditors on alert to be in line.
Yes, I agree with you, Dwayne.
Okay.
I agree with you.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And actually, we are out of time, unfortunately. Unless somebody wants to extend, I would be inclined to adjourn. Is there a motion to extend?
Motion to adjourn, Dwayne.
All right. All right. That takes precedent. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, everybody here. That was very, very fulsome and eventful. I appreciate it, and I look forward to the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita. Thank you,
everyone.
Chris.
Thank you, Anita. Thank
all right.
You, Anita.
Everybody take care, please. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It ain't safe
James,
out there.
What a trooper,
all right.
James, for hanging out.
Yeah,
in.
Oh,
good
yeah,
job,
James.
James.
Go get a text.
Remind us when the next meeting is.
It's the 28th. It would be April 28th at 8:30 Eastern. Always make that mistake. 8:30 Eastern. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.